everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. God is strong and alive. He is our God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, we've had an exciting time all this week. And Lord, we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. When all this week, Bill, I've noticed the thread that the Spirit of God has woven through what we're talking about, that His Word, this, where we are so blessed, this is not God's Word. This is a copy of what He said. Now, when I accept it as exactly what He said, it becomes God's Word. And when it becomes God's Word to me, I begin where most people hope to wind up one these days. I begin with the answer.
Right. Good.
So, as I meditate in this, it begins to supernaturally, by the Spirit of God, expand my capacity for faith, and it's renewing my mind for what reason? If, according to Isaiah 55, if I think like God, then I can speak like God, then I can act like God. And I'm doing all this by faith now. It's not a natural thing, it's supernatural.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if I renew my mind where I think God's thoughts, then I can speak God's words, then I can act like God, what happens? I get God's results.
You can't help but get
God's results. You can't help it. And Jesus has come to see to it that the devil or nobody else can disturb it if you'll depend on Him and put it in His hands.
Can we turn to that scripture, Isaiah 55, over there? Isaiah 55. And that Isaiah 55 is... And verses 8 and 9, He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I put a translation here. You can't separate what you're thinking from how you live.
It can't be done.
You can't separate it. Can't separate it. And this is a powerful thing here. Now, He said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." I tell a story often about a man who came, and he talked in our ministry, he talked about this businessman who went to one of the Arab Emirates states, and he was doing some business over there from America. And he did that business. And once he did the business, he was about to leave, and one of the members of the royal family said, "Hey, we'd like to give you a gift before you leave." He said, "I don't need a gift. I just came over to do some business, going back to USA." So, "No, we insist. We'd like to give you a gift." And he was persistent. He said, "No, I don't need one." He said, "No, we insist. Now, it's a tradition of ours, and that's what we do." He didn't want to offend him. He said, "Okay, fine." He said, "What would you like?" He said, "Well, just give me a golf club." And I said, "Golf club?" He said, "Yes, golf club." So now he gets back to the U.S. About 3 weeks later, he gets this knock on the door. Answers the door, and gentleman, he didn't recognize me. He said, "Excuse me, sir, are you Mr. Jones or Brown, whatever his name was?" "So, yes, I am." He said, "Sir, I'd like you to follow me. I want to take you to your golf club." He took him to 18 holes, took him to putting green, clubhouse. All of that was his. This rich family had bought it for him. Now, watch. They were saying the same thing, but their thoughts were different.
Just two words.
Two words.
Golf, club.
Club. One was thinking about a 9-iron, and the other one was thinking about real estate. Now, I'm saying, what is God thinking about when He says some things in here?
Oh, man.
Have we taken that and shortened it out? We brought it down to a 9-iron. And He says...
A used one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Ben.
Now, this is just Ben. See, and He's saying here, hey, let me... your thoughts are not my thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're going to have what you thought. You're going to, what you believe is exactly where you're going
to
end
now,
up.
Now, somebody to come ask him and say, hey, I was thinking about picking you up a new golf club now. What do you like to have, man? What do you need? He's going to think, a 6-iron, 8-iron, I mean, a 9-iron, something, you know, what? And the guy says, I was thinking about buying him a whole bag and clubs, but he only wants 1 iron. But the other guy over here is thinking about the country club. They all said the same thing.
They sure did.
Now, if you'd have told this guy,
yep.
No,
yep.
He wants to buy you a country club,
exactly.
He'd have choked, he'd have run backwards.
Exactly.
He wouldn't have known how to handle that.
So now, we can take words, and the Bible says not only be careful what you hear, it says in Luke chapter 8, be careful how you hear.
Wow.
Because you can hear it the wrong way. And as you hear it that way, that's the way it's going to be measured back to you. So your thinking has to be thought thinking like God. And to get there, you need to come over and meditate the word and give the Holy Spirit a chance.
Now, wait a minute here. Whoa. So where I am concerned as a believer, he used the word measure. Now, 100-fold return. But is it going to be 100 teaspoons?
Correct.
100 shovels?
Exactly.
100 dump yep. trucks? I mean, what? It's
measure?
Not a... Now, God, there ain't no difference in God's mind between a teaspoon and a dump truck. I mean, he's got plenty of both. But... So it's measured by our measure, not his.
Not his.
But if we can come up to his.
Correct.
If we can get our measuring strict
like
to do
him.
This, and God's more blessed the bigger the stick is.
Now,
am I right in that?
You absolutely right.
Because what he has bought for us, Bill, is far greater than anything we've imagined yet or thought.
We're talking about witnessing to two people. He's talking about witnessing to a city. We're talking about, you showed me some pictures out of this book now, I guess, showing Billy Graham's, his whole ministry.
Yeah.
And I saw Chicago Soldiers Field and all those people.
Jam.
I said, my Lord, did this really go on? I see why the atmosphere had shifted during their time.
Yeah.
He and Dr. Oral Roberts. And are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, I am.
I'm saying, now, we better come on up here. Because we're not talking about one or two people. We're talking about a city. He placed me in the city because he wants to change the city. I'm saying, maybe I just hear and praise God. I'm in this community here and just witness some people in this community. That's fine. But maybe my thoughts are not his thoughts. Maybe, hey, every place the sole of your foot should tread upon, I only place you in that city because I expect you to own it. Whoa.
Absolutely.
Now, let me get a hold of that. Now, I can't reason that out because it's not meant.
You won't ever get there just grabbing it and trying to act bold.
No.
If the boldness isn't there, then the whole thing's a lie.
That is exactly right. Now, let's take that and go back to Joseph's life in Genesis chapter 37. All right? Now, as we go back there to Genesis chapter 37, let's remember our scripture, that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, what I believe is where I'm going to end up. So if I look at Genesis...
That's the literal translation of that scripture.
That is the translation
what
of that scripture.
What I believe...
Is where I'm going to end up.
Well, just analyze that a little bit. You can tell right off why that's the heart of it, is because what I think is going to determine what I believe.
Exactly.
If there's the only way it can get in my heart is for me to open the door
to it. That's exactly right.
So, and what I think... What I believe, what I say, how I act, is taking me somewhere.
It sure is, isn't it? Every time, no matter what I
mean. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, yeah, it's taking me somewhere.
I had a man tell me one time, he said, Brother Copeland, I was raised in a family of thieves. Mm-hmm. He said, that's all I knew. My grandpa was a jailbird. This is his word. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My grandpa was a jailbird. My daddy's a jailbird. And I'm a jailbird. He said, well, that's all. They said, that's all I ever heard. And he was in serious, serious prison time when he wasn't even 16 years old yet. Wow. And now, why? The way he thought. It wasn't because somebody had it in for him. It's because the way he thought and the way he talked was taking him somewhere. Now, isn't that exactly what that's saying?
Yes, it is.
He got born again while he was in prison. Yep. And he said, Brother Copeland, I didn't know how to live. I don't know how people are supposed to live right. Mm. He said, so I got your schedule, and I'd go over there, and I'd get me just a menial job of some kind, and I'd work there till you got there, and I'd quit my job and go to the meeting. And then he said, I'd be where you was going next. I'd be there before you got there.
He's renewing his mind.
He's renewing his mind. And as it renewed his mind and changed his way of thinking with the Word of God and by the anointing of ministry, he wound up dean of a Bible college.
Did he?
So his new thinking took him somewhere.
It took him there. I'm telling you.
Now, I'm telling you, that's big.
It's if people listening to this grab hold to that principle right there, that is a powerful.
It didn't have nothing
principle
to do with the economy.
Nope. Nothing to do with it.
I don't care what kind of economy you're living in. You can be in the deepest jungle on earth with leeches stuck all over you. And you get born again, get a hold of Jesus, you will wind up being where God called you to be, and ain't no man can keep you from it.
Now, Joseph, in Genesis chapter 37, dreamed a dream. Now, His dad had given him a coat of many colors, so there's some favor there, but the other brothers got jealous, so forth and so on. Now, verse 5, it says, and Joseph dreamed a dream. He told it to his brother, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray thee, this dream which I have dreamed. Behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Underline reign. Shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Reigning and dominion. What is it taking us back to? The Eden blessing.
Yes, sir.
It's taken us back there, see. And these are two words that the believers should put in their hearts, that God has us in this earth to reign
as
kings.
Have you ever thought about this? Mm. Had those brothers of his did exactly what he said. Mm. He said, we don't understand this, but this is of God, we're going to do it. All of the blessing of Egypt would have hit right there instead of waiting until they like starved to death.
Yes, indeed.
And still didn't have anything. But the abundance that hit Egypt came out of Joseph. Mm. He's the one with the blessing.
He's the one.
It expressed itself in a slave situation. Expressed itself in prison.
Everywhere.
And he still wind up prime minister of the land.
See,
and the famine hit Egypt, but the blessing in him prospered it. It could have happened right where they were all the time.
Now, God's way of transforming thinking in the Old Testament at times were through dreams.
He didn't have a book.
He didn't have a book, see? So God gave him a dream.
So that's why he had two dreams.
That's exactly right.
Out of the mouth of two witnesses.
It was, two is from the Lord.
And he latched on to it.
He received it.
Prison.
See?
Couldn't cut him loose.
How many people are not receiving the dream that God gives them? Because they're trying to analyze the dream to see how can I do this? There's no way I can be this good, this big, this you make things happen, this great. But you just have to receive it by faith. And he received it. Now, It transformed his thinking. It enlarged his capacity. And the next thing you know, his brothers wanted to kill him, and then they decided to sell him. He was sold as a slave. But now he's sold as a slave and taken down to Egypt. Now understand, he was not a slave, but he was sold as a slave. Now it's a situation of shame. But now let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Now let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12.
I know what you're saying.
Hebrews chapter 12.
See? Satan always tries to shame.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
If he can get you to accept that shame, you'll see yourself as a slave and in bondage and never come out.
Never come out.
Oh, you're locked in there. Goodness, brother.
And how many people have done things in our lives and our past and so forth and so on that the enemy tries to bring up to make you ashamed? Because if he can work shame into your life, you can just forget it. It's just like sin consciousness. It'll wipe your faith right out. You need faith to grab hold to the things of God and to move where God wants you. It'll wipe it out, bring condemnation in. Next thing you know, you blaming others, making excuses for where you are, and just stagnate right where you are. Bitter, mad. Now, look at this. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Praise God, yes.
Now look what he did. Jesus hanging up there despised the shame. Now, we talked about the word despise earlier this week.
It means the same thing here.
It means the same thing here.
Yeah.
Treats lowly. You didn't even consider. Just low
esteem,
opinion.
No esteem. Honor no honor at all for
none,
it.
None.
Lightly
none.
Esteemed.
None.
What was it? It said about Esau. He despised.
Exactly.
The blessing.
Exactly.
He had no esteem for it.
Exactly right. And what happened here is Jesus, it says, for the joy that was set before him. Now, that was set before me when I finally meditated that word, expanded my capacity, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit showed me something in my future. But I had something to do with him showing me that. Mm-hmm. I had to meditate that word. Mm-hmm. Once he showed me, now, me going in and saying I'm leaving when the economy is down and my co-workers looking at me, I walked through where many of the offices were. Do you know Brother Copeland? They wouldn't even raise their head and say, hey, heard you leaving. They even ignored me. They didn't even want to be seen talking to me. And let me tell you, I didn't feel ashamed because I saw something.
Yes, amen.
And let me tell you, just as much as a few years ago and even up to now, they're calling me, hey, Bill Winston, listen, I'm going to tell you, we thought you were crazy when you left it, but listen, any way you can get me in that business school, I should have left when you left.
Man,
he was on the cross. But he despised the shame. Why?
Gave it no credit.
No credit for the joy that was set before him. Brother Copeland, isn't this powerful stuff?
Yes, it is.
Renewing our minds.
And the joy of the Lord was his
strength. He says, so be not conformed
to this world.
Now,
Bill, let's bottom line something right
here. Yes,
sir. Well, you know, Brother Copeland, I know, but... But now, you know, you understand my background and all that. Hey, right there in Isaiah 55, when it says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways higher than yours, the verse before that says, let the wicked man forsake his thoughts.
And the unrighteous.
To forsake it means to despise it. I never knew you. Get out of my life and turn and head towards God. God ain't looking for somebody perfect.
Nope.
He's looking for somebody bleeding.
That's exactly right. The meek shall inherit the earth. And so what happened is here's Joseph. He was then took over Potiphar's house, that means Potiphar's son had to ask Joseph for the keys to the car. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
And so what happened? Next thing you know, got in some things and they falsely accused him, got put in prison. But notice, the vision of a ruler was still in his heart.
Yeah.
He was raised up, the blessing raised him up, took over the prison, and next thing you know, Pharaoh has a dream, Joseph goes up, and because he's open now to kingdom thinking, now the dreams can pour through him,
I ever really saw that, just like what you said right now. The dream was rain.
Yep, yep.
The dream was to have dominion.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Wherever he went, the blessing of the Lord to bring that to pass, he had dominion over Potiphar's house. Suddenly he had dominion over the prison. Now, when in his life was he ever prepared to run a prison?
That's exactly right.
It was the blessing of the Lord that taught him and trained. So when they made him prime minister of Egypt one day's time, the blessing did the same thing in every one of these situations because he wouldn't turn loose.
And shame would have cut that blessing
off immediately. We're out of time. My goodness. Praise God. Brother Bill and I will be back in just a moment.
In November 2009, Kenneth Copeland Ministries once again brought the love of God and the message of faith to their partners and friends at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign in Woodbridge, Virginia.
Jesus defeated Satan, and we're born of God. And victory, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Your faith overcomes the world.
Love is to your faith what air is to a tire. You can have a brand new tire, but without air, it will not carry the load it was designed to carry. And without love, your faith will go flat.
I love the fact that he just is always drawing you to a greater place of faith in God and just getting you to just completely trust him and to let go and just to have complete and total freedom from fear.
When you come here, you have a direct revelation that what he's saying is applying to you.
I'm supposed to prosper. I'm supposed to be healed. I'm supposed to lay hands on the sick and they're supposed to recover. I'm supposed to bless this nation. I'm supposed to be the one here, not you, Mr. Devil. Get out!
I've been to all of the services thus far, and it has been so, so life-changing. You can feel the presence of God here.
The praise is phenomenal. I keep thinking to myself, this is what heaven's going to be like.
Many came expecting to receive their healing at the Healing School service with Gloria Copeland.
We should believe for divine health all the time. And we should not be expecting sickness and disease.
Everything that's wrong with me will all be healed.
It's God's will for you to be healed today.
God never disappoints.
It feels so good not to have constant pain. Thank you, Lord. I take it. Hallelujah.
The Word of God went out in power and changed the lives of people around the world.
You are vitally important to me. It is necessary for you to rise up and take your place in these times and in these days. You are my ambassadors of my glory. You are my power in the earth. You carry my anointing. You are the body of Christ. You are the body and you are the fullness of me, saith the Lord.
I'm so excited because I know I'm going back to South Africa, a much richer person in the way that I think and in the way that, you know, God would just elevate my life for what they've imparted to me in this conference.
If you want a change in your life, come.
Thank you, partners, for your prayer and financial support. Be sure to join us this year for even greater glory in upcoming meetings.
Now, the Lord instructed me years ago that each Friday would be offering day.
Praise God.
And over the years, he's developed
the revelation of this in me. And let me share this with you quickly, because I know you've heard a lot of stuff all week long. But now listen to this. Let him that's taught in the Word communicate or respond to him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Now listen to what he's talking about here. He that sows to his flesh, and you go back over here in the fifth chapter, and he'll tell you what the flesh will produce if you sow to it, shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That is the translation of the Greek word zoe, life everlasting, everlasting life, supernatural life of God. You reap that. Now, where does that connection come from? He says, when someone teaches you, then let him that's taught respond to the word that was taught. Now, right now, that word is in your mind and it has gone down in your spirit. But Jesus talked about people that heard the word and received it gladly, and the devil stole it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you stop that? You respond by sowing into the life of the teacher and any place else God tells you to. But as you sow to that, then that revelation takes root and it begins to grow and it begins to grow and it begins to work on the inside of you. And the more you meditate it, the bigger it gets. But the way you do anything in the kingdom of God is you sow the seed first, and then it begins to take root and grow. So that message then takes hold and it becomes your revelation, not just mine or Brother Bill's or your pastor's or somebody else. It becomes yours. That's what is so powerful about receiving offerings. That's why God set it up like this. Praise God. Now, all your giving outside the United States, it stays right in your area, right there where you are now. And we believe God and we pray for you in Jesus' name. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD, go to our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-600-7395.